I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
If you have not been to one of these, I'd like to welcome you to the witness stand. As we continue to follow Bruce in knowing and growing in God's Word, this is our chance as a church to respond. This is our chance to talk about some of the stuff that we've been thinking about, what he's been talking about. And we've been talking about some pretty interesting stuff lately, actually. We've been weaving together the empty tomb scriptures into a working timeline. We just finished it last week, and I was amazed. I don't know about you guys, but I loved it. I thought it was great. And then we saw that in doing it, that we needed to trust in God's word alone so much that to the point where it actually changed us. And then with Peter showed us that we need some real self-examination to find out if we truly love him for reals. And the challenges kept coming. Last week, we again looked inward to see if we were behaving like those excited young disciples who were running that course back to Pentecost as fast as they could to get there in time. We took a look at whether or not we were running the path that Jesus had laid out for us. So, to this end, we're going to get three of you guys up here and talk about this stuff and how it's impacted you. So with that, it is time for our first witness. Yes, all right. As a husband, father of three, including our very own Colin Vander Ark, and grandfather of six, his entrepreneurial spirit has led him to found two companies in the last 14 years. For almost two decades, he has spent his spare time serving in youth ministry and on worship teams, but still finds time to pursue his love of outdoor life, including regular games of basketball with his less talented son. This is Doug Vander Ark. Welcome, Doug.
Yeah, I quit.
What? That's right. Not always. He says you win once in a while. Is that what I heard? Once in a while when you got your kids on your team? All right. Next. A loving mother of three who is team mom for two football teams and married to this guy. This Texan import attended Skagit Valley College before becoming a nurse at Island Hospital in Anacortes, where she lives and keeps repainting the kitchen even though it looks fine. This is the beautiful Raina Richards. And lastly, born in Oakland, California, this ex-Navy tech nerd merged families with his wife, Heidi, to create a unique version of the Brady Bunch, complete with a cat named Tiger. 11 grandchildren later, he spends his time spoiling them rotten and when need be, schooling local companies in various areas of computer literacy. This is Brian Williams. Welcome, Brian. Good to have you. So it's good to see you guys. We've had a fun couple of weeks getting ready for this, wouldn't you say? It's been lots of fun. I've enjoyed myself. Have you guys enjoyed yourself? We'll talk about that later. So we're going to get right into it. And the way that this thing is going to work is each of these guys is going to have 5 minutes to talk about some of the messages and how they've impacted them. And just in the interest of getting you out of here on time, I'm going to have a timer and a gavel, and I will bang it if you guys run over. You've been warned. Fair enough? Fair enough. Well, then, with that, let's welcome our first witness, Doug, to the stand.
Good Sunday morning, church. Morning. It's good to see you all here today. I am a tool guy. I love tools. I am convinced that I have multiple sets of everything, but have not seen those tools all in the same place at the same time because I have kids. Where'd he go? Oh, he's back there. Colin is the first one I call when I can't find a tool. It's usually in his shed too, by the way. So here's a tool that Bruce gave me 3 weeks ago. My kids can borrow, but I will always know where this tool is. That is the direct pipeline to trust and truth. In his message, when we weave together the story of Jesus' third appearance at the Sea of Galilee, painting a surprise picture of a beach of 500 men and their families, contrary to Jesus standing on a quiet beach that we traditionally imagined and I learned in Sunday school, only through putting scripture where it fit in the story did we change the image, and only then did we see how we let ourselves write the other story. Then Bruce popped up with one of his pithy one-liners. You either trust God's word or you trust yourself. And if you tend to trust yourself, how do you differ from the atheists? Comparing me to an atheist, those folks are fighting words. Guy like me, really? Boy, I've been to church, I did the Sunday school, I've done all of the catechism, all this stuff. Was Bruce questioning my trust? Of course I trust God's word. I mean, yeah, I trust my own understanding too. What I see, hear, smell, feel, touch, my experiences in life. So you have to be pretty convincing to get me to come around to your way of thinking, because I've been there. So then, can I completely trust God's word for truth, but only reading it once in a while, or maybe only on the screen on Sunday mornings? That's where my argument gets a little wishy-washy. Every time I do study it, I'm convinced God's word is literally true, but yet I still sometimes feel the waver on that. Yeah, but what about the situation I'm in, or that argument? What about that really smart guy that knows so much that says that it means this? This, folks, is constantly tested in today's mad, mad world. Well, Thomas seemed like a pretty practical guy. He trusted his senses and maybe a faulty memory, rather than Jesus' words. A disciple who followed Jesus around for 3 years, but still didn't catch the point Jesus was showing him all along. I see myself as a pretty practical guy, too. Good common sense my mama gave me. Not too dramatic, but am I missing the point? Either I have to be all in on this trust thing or not. And if I want to be all in, then how diligently do I search for truth in the Word? Honestly, my trust in the Word and faith in His promises and plan increases in direct proportion to how much time I spend in the Word. I have a short memory. I have to stick my nose and my heart in the Bible to remember things I knew, but forgot along the way, and leaned on my own senses and experiences and memory, and that got me in trouble a lot. As Bruce pointed out, when we spend time really trusting in Bible, sometimes confusing words, we hear it cry out, "Make me make sense." Because if you do, you'll find an amazing story concealed in plain sight. But we have to know and trust his voice, which is his word. So here's a little bit of truth about trust from the word of God that I've picked up over the years. This is Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Trust in and submit to his word, even if it changes our previous understandings? Yes. That's how we make it make sense. Trust God's word or trust yourself? Simple answers for very complicated people with very complicated lives. Right from the source of truth, God's word. There it is. Black and white. Here are some truths that I find in the Word that I want to share. God's grace. God's love for sinful, broken me. A guy like me, and I know all my faults, every last one of them. His promises to me. God's faithfulness in executing his plan to save me. Bottom line, in the world that has gone terribly, terribly wrong. I get to use and trust the tool that gives me hope. Black and white, truth, God's word. I rest my case.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. Hear ye, I don't know what I'm trying to force the courtroom thing too much, I think. Great word. From your tone, it seems that in your past you wanted to trust yourself more. Why? And where do you think that came from?
Well, back then I thought I had all the answers.
Yeah.
And actually now these days I still think I have most of the answers, but at least I'm starting to learn what I don't know mm-hmm. so that I can actually become teachable. And so realizing that trusting the truth of the word in black and white, literally, being older and being more forgetful, I got to go back and re-remind myself mm-hmm. of all of the things that I just said two sentences ago mm-hmm. because I forgot already.
Mm-hmm. I can relate to that, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for that, Doug. Let's welcome Raina to the witness stand.
Good morning. Last week, we heard a message about a few things that really spoke to me, leaving me with more questions than I had answers. You ever feel like that after one of the messages up here? More questions than answers? I sure the heck do. So we finished weaving the gospel's empty tomb timelines, and after placing Jesus' ascension earlier in the story where Luke and Mark put it, we picked up with the disciples and 500 brothers on the beach at the Sea of Galilee. Using scripture, we then realized that we needed to haul buns if we were going to, or they needed to haul buns if they were going to get back in time to Jerusalem for Pentecost. You know, where they get the Holy Spirit and take off to the ends of the earth? Well, Jesus laid the course and fired the starting pistol. And then we were asked, are you running the course the Lord has laid before you? That really got me thinking in a few different ways. Am I running the course? Am I really running the course the Lord has laid before me? Bruce started last Sunday by painting us a picture. According to Mark and Luke, Jesus ascends into heaven and sits at the right hand of God on the night of his resurrection. Jesus dies on Friday, rises Sunday morning, and ascends Sunday night. And 1 week later, appears for the first time to all 12 and breathes his spirit into them, just as God had once breathed into Adam. Now, as a nurse, that got me thinking, breathing life into somebody, I think, CPR. And if you've ever witnessed or been a part of something like that, it's a pretty crazy and an incredible thing. You are literally breathing life into someone else. And every experience I have ever been a part of that we were able to breathe life into somebody, afterwards, either their family members, loved ones, or even the patient themselves would run to us to thank us, to love on us, and to sing our praises. Jesus breathed life into me. Am I running the course to thank him, to genuinely love him, and to sing his praises? Last week, we also touched on the disciples' sense of urgency in regards to getting back to Jerusalem in time for Pentecost. This got me thinking about my own personal sense of urgency on my course the Lord has laid before me, a kingdom-like urgency. He talked about the disciples having approximately 80 miles to cover in about 48 hours and asked, would you be able to do it? If someone said, okay, you got 48 hours, 80 miles, now go. Now, I have a bit of a competitive spirit to me, to a fault. I've been known to make board games, like family, kid-oriented board games, unfun. You can ask my husband, I'm terrible. So when he asked if we could make it, I was like, heck yeah, mission accepted, I can make it, no problem. But do I have that urgency in my everyday life? Am I running with urgency, appropriate urgency, on the course the Lord has laid before me? Because I sure do feel like I'm running with urgency. I'm running from point A to point B to get my kiddos around. I'm running with urgency to the grocery store. I'm running with urgency to Starbucks. I'm running with urgency to please others, running with urgency to a million different worldly things. But am I running with urgency to God and the course he has laid before me? Only I know the answer. And to be completely transparent, I'm not. I'm not running with that urgency. With that kingdom-like urgency to God that I run to everything else in my everyday life. In Acts 1:8, he tells his disciples, "But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." How far will I go to fulfill my creative purpose? How far will I go to witness to others, to run my course in my own unique, individualized way, which only I can do? I'll tell you what, I did not want to be up here this morning. It's scary. It's scary up here. I feel a little nauseous. I'm nervous. My heart's pounding. But I want to change. I want to start running the path the Lord has laid before me. And I know that I know that I know that I know the path, the course to the ends of the earth, it goes through me. I am part of that roadmap. So I want to start running my course to God with a kingdom-like sense of urgency to the ends of the earth. I rest my case.
Wow, all right. Thank you. So what I heard was that we need to run with a Starbucks-like urgency everywhere we go for God. Is that right? Starbucks-like urgency?
Indeed.
Yeah. You call breathing life into someone else a crazy and incredible thing, which I imagine that it is. Is there any other ways that that has impacted your faith, being a part of that?
Well, in several ways, actually. It's strengthened my faith, definitely. I'm more grateful for the things I experience every day. Believe it or not, I feel less in control of things. Hard for you to believe, I'm sure. And it's just helped me with complaining again. There are things I don't complain about because it just gives me a better appreciation for the things I do have and experience.
Right. Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much for that, Raina. All right. Well, and lastly, let us welcome Brian to the witness stand.
Good morning, church. First, I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. Two Sundays ago, Pastor Bruce was weaving the word, and we were going through the story of Jesus' third appearance on the beach at Galilee, where he was feeding 500 people, his disciples, and Peter. Peter's my guy. In the midst of feeding 500 men and women and their families, Jesus took the time to deal with one impetuous disciple, Peter. He needed to find out if Peter's love was genuine and if he could turn this bull-headed disciple into a loving shepherd. This is what most people think about Peter, but this is what I think Peter is. Peter is the boss. Peter's the man. Peter is a business owner. He's a leader. He's a breadwinner. He's the go-to guy. If Peter lived today, he'd look a little like that. From his first meeting with Jesus, he devoted himself to making sure that Jesus knew that he was Jesus' go-to guy. After Jesus fed the 5,000 people with some bread and some fishes, Jesus sent the crowd away, went off to pray. Even Jesus did that. And he asked the disciples to get on a boat and meet him on the cross of the sea. Unfortunately, the charter was not licensed. (Laughter) The weather started getting rough. The storm came up. Jesus met the guys in the water and he said, "Yo, fellas, chill out, it's me." I'm not reading from the NIV version, I'm reading from the NEO version of the Bible. That's the new East Oakland version of the Bible. So bear with me. When Jesus identified himself, he said, "Who does the men say that I am?" And some of the disciples said, "Moses, Elijah, the prophets." But Jesus asked specifically, "Who do you say that I am?" And the first one to answer, Peter. When Jesus was speaking of his imminent betrayal, he said to his disciples, "The shepherd will be struck down and the sheep will scatter." Peter declared, "Even if all of these fall away, I will not." Be careful, Peter. What you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Peter should know better. He was a married man. I'm afraid to look in this direction right over here. Satan said to Peter, "Tonight the Satan demands to have you, but I have prayed for you." Then Peter went all Jeff Foxworthy on Jesus and said, "Look, I won't be able to bail you out, Jesus, because if you go to prison, I'll be there with you. Death or prison, I'm down." We pick up the story back on the beach. We find Peter being Peter. He decided he was going fishing. Then he looked up and someone said, "Hey, that's Jesus on the beach." So what did Peter do? Snatched up his britches and jumped out of the boat. Could you just imagine Jesus' response to this? He's probably standing on the shore going, "Oh, what am I going to do with this boy?" Love the enthusiasm, Peter, but come on, man. You're thinking like a hired hand, not like a shepherd. Jesus saw an issue that he had to deal with, so he did. When Peter got to the beach, Jesus said to him, "Peter, son of John." No, both names. When I was a kid, "Brian!" Man, I was in trouble. "Brian Keith?" Man, I was in big trouble. "Brian Keith Williams" was an obituary. Jesus pushed past Peter's hard head and hard heart and asked him the specific question. Now, Pastor told us that it took 3 licks to get to Peter's chewy center. Yes, that is an image that's stuck in my brain. Thanks for that. But I have to ask myself, how deep would the Spirit of God have to go before he got past my hard head and my hard heart? I'm confident that Jesus would have to ask me a whole lot more than 3 times. How about you? When Peter finally gave up, Peter finally said, "Okay, I give up. This is me. I'll drop the pretense. This is all I got." And what was Jesus' response to that? "I'll take it. That's what I can use. That right there, that broken, naked, vulnerable, incomplete you, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I've been waiting for. That's what I've been hoping for." There's evidence that Peter got the message. In 1 Peter 3, verse 15 through 16, I won't read it, you can read it. Peter tells us, always be prepared to give an answer. Especially if that question is, "Do you love me?" My hope is that one day soon that we will be a little bit more like impetuous Peter, that we will simply admit, simply pray, "I give up. You win. This is all I got." And when we pray that prayer, when we honestly, sincerely give that prayer up to Jesus, we should step back and watch as God begins a mighty work in our lives. Work for Peter. I rest my case.
Wow. Thank you so much for that. Do you sell any copies of this new East Oakland translation of the Bible that I can get my hands on?
I have a website.
That's right. Plugs. You say that it would take more than three questions to find the real you. What about your life prevents God from getting to your chewy center?
He has to go south through my hard head. I didn't grow up here, if you could guess that. I grew up in the city of Oakland. It gets better. I grew up in the city of Oakland, the son of a city Oakland cop. Yeah. You learn to be strong in that environment. And as my wife will contest, sometimes I'm a little bullheaded with her, and Jesus is no different. So it takes a while to get past the East Oakland me to get to the Brian and be honest and be sincere, because I'm hard-headed. Admittedly so.
If I'm not mistaken, I feel like that was the answer to all of these questions. You're hard-headed? You're...
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. I put words in your mouth. You are hard-headed, though. Well, thanks so much. I want to thank Doug, Raina, and Brian for braving the witness stand this morning. Thanks so much, guys. But I also want to encourage us to do the same wherever we go from here, to go out into the world and be the witnesses that we've been commanded to be. And after all, it's only a matter of time before we ask you to come up here, so start practicing. So let's be like Peter and get down to the chewy center so that the Holy Spirit can start working in us to help us trust God's path and then run at full speed. After all, it's why we're here. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunities to learn and encourage that you have built into our lives, and for us, and for giving us an example of absolute truth that we can trust. Lord Jesus, continue to show us the incredible depth of your story as we search after you in reading the Bible, and let it sink into our hearts in a way that calls us to be more like you. Holy Spirit, guide us into an understanding of ourselves that empowers us to live a life of unwavering witness beyond these walls, lighting a dark world with a reflection of your love. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.